Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. We have so many exciting things going on right now that I'm excited and ecstatic and thrilled to share with you. As of July 6th, I am adding an additional radio show called Passionate Living. Passionate Living will air 3 o'clock Pacific time. And due to that, we are going to change this showtime, Hourglass Bride, from 1:30 to 2:30 Pacific time to be able to accommodate the other show. So I welcome you to join us in both shows. And what has happened, we're so excited as we started a television show. And as we were doing the television show, we realized that so many of our guests had such incredible information to share with you, and so much of that information was beyond the relationships, our love relationships, and our romantic relationships, and our passionate relationships. So many of the guests that we were talking to were talking about their relationships with the planet, with our colleagues, with our friends, with our community, relationships to the food that we eat, to our health, relationships to the air, to the atmosphere, to our pets. And so Passionate Living will be an extension of Hourglass Bride as we talk about everything relationship related, and I'm so thrilled to be presenting that to you. So again, as of July 6th, Passionate Living will air at 3 o'clock, and Hourglass Bride will be moved up a half an hour from 1:30 to 2:30 Pacific time, and we look forward to having you there with us for both the shows. Just really exciting. Also, we are now podcasts. So you can get a copy of today's show simply by sending a text to 55678, 55678. And the text is simple. It's just Nicole. And by sending a text to 55678, the message Nicole, you will get a copy of today's show and any of our archive show with our extraordinary guests. We also have coming up on July 12th and July 13th in Los Angeles our Unlimited Life workshop. The June 28th and June 29th workshop is sold out. We have no more room. But for those of you that still want to participate and have been emailing me and calling me and posting to us and blogging to us, yes, we have added an additional workshop July 12th and 13th to accommodate you. We will have many of our celebrity guests doing one-on-one sessions with you, and you'll get to meet them face-to-face. So all thrilling and exciting news. And then today we have one of my very favorite guests and one of my dearest friends on, and I'm so thrilled and so excited that she's joining us. Today we are talking with Suzanne Strassauer, and for 35 years, Suzanne has helped people successfully navigate unknown territories of their lives. Isn't that great? It sounds like somebody's white water rafting through life. And she helps them navigate from traumatic events, illnesses, and the true desire for their purpose and their direction. And she helps them by leading them to their very next steps. She is a certified life coach. She is a career coach, a spiritual guide, an author, a speaker, a workshop facilitator, and she's radio show host, and she's an amazing radio show host, and I've been on her show, and I absolutely love the work she does and everything she presents to the world. She has a master's degree in counseling, psychology certifications, and clinical hypnotherapy, coaching, and really being inspired as a learning facilitator. She is launching now a new and completely online television show, and she has handed everything from transformational movies to cosmic impacts to conscious causes and really helping people plug into themselves. And her true calling is helping people truly make a difference in their life. She is the author of 3 books. She has released an award-winning and comprehensive life purpose workbook, which is phenomenal. I have it here on my desk, and every day I learn something from it. It's 111 inspirational life purpose quotes and exercises to find your purpose in your life, and it is phenomenal. And the book really helps people guide through the 5-step process of understanding their unique life purpose DNA. And we will talk to her today about what life purpose DNA is and what a personal why is, why somebody wants to do something and what their dreams and vision are. Suzanne co-founded the Living Well Talk Radio Network, and she's hosting 3 weekly internet shows, including The Doctor's In, Your Life Purpose, and Purpose Revealed with Ruins and Tarot. She is one of my favorite people. She is an angel on this planet, extraordinary, talented, gifted, supportive, sharing, and truly the best at what she does at transforming people's lives and helping them get to the very next place and step. And so, Suzanne, welcome to the show. It is such a thrill to have you here.
Hi, Nicole. It's so good to be with you and just to kind of hang out with one of my dear friends and fellow angels on the planet.
Oh, I love it. And the best part about it, I mean, other than the fact that I love you so completely, is that today you're actually going to a wedding, correct?
I am going to a wedding. And it's my niece's wedding. And it's really interesting, Nicole, because she actually asked me originally if I would marry them.
Oh.
And I was very flattered and honored, and I know them both, and they were high school sweethearts, and, you know, I've watched them go through rocky and tough times, and they've come out the other side, you know, like 15 years later, and they want to get married, and, you know, I helped them through some of those tough times. And so they asked me if I would marry them, and I said, originally I said yes, and then I read the script that she had written for her wedding. And, you know, as you well know, when I was taping one of my television segments, I am not a good one to read other people's words, particularly when it's some extended piece of content. And so as much as it was beautiful and, you know, all that, it was not my words. It was not me speaking on their behalf. And so I said to her, I said, honey, I want to come to your wedding. I don't want to do your wedding. And so she found some wonderful woman who's, like, thrilled to be marrying them, and she's scripted her wedding down to the T, and I hope everything goes off with as much beauty and grace as she's and energy as she's put into it.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm so thrilled, and what a perfect day for you to be going. It's so funny, when you said Rocky, they've been through Rocky and hard times. I just recently saw the movie Rocky the other night again, and so right away I was thinking, like, Rocky, like the movie in hard times, and it was another movie.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think everybody does have rocky and hard times, whether it's rocky in the movies or, you know, rocky in real life. Everybody's got those hard times. And to just see how they are manifesting that and, you know, how they've manifested beautiful jobs. They've graduated from college. He turned out to be an amazing entrepreneur. And, you know, originally when I met him, he was, like, playing guitar in a in a school band, and just to see how they've grown and grown up and grown together and seen each other through really difficult times, and it's remarkable.
Okay, so then I have a question with you with this, because I just went to a wedding a couple weeks ago, and it was Lisa Conrad Cohen's wedding. Lisa Conrad Cohen, you remember, was one of our guests. She was the dating designer when we were doing
yes.
the radio show.
That's
and
right.
She's hysterical. She's funny. She's captivating. And the wedding was sweet. Her husband came out to welcome to the Mets, and he's a big baseball fan, and all the yarmulkes had little baseballs on them. And just the personality and the little girl that was a flower girl, they played Someday My Dream, you know, My Prince Will Come, as she walked down the aisle, and a friendship song from the Beatles for the bridesmaids. And it was so indicative as to who they were.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
served, you know, champagne even before as everybody was sitting down. And so, I mean, you've interviewed so many people on your radio shows, and you have such vast experience from clinical psychology to all of the hypnotherapy and the work that you do in counseling. And where do you think people get tripped up in relationships, whether it be in romantic relationships or in business partnerships or even in themselves? Where do people stumble?
That's a great question, Nicole, and I'm actually going to give you kind of an answer in three different fronts. So if we just take the person, they can get tripped up from the inside to the outside. So, for instance, inside they have a vision of, you know, of a certain kind of wedding. They imagine this kind of wedding. Outside, the wedding isn't congruent with what they imagined. So that's the first place where they get tripped up, is they can get tripped up inside their own heads. The second place they can get tripped up is with whomever their significant other is. And when that happens, it's really kind of sad because, you know, like there were many times when my niece and her soon-to-be husband were, you know, like she wanted to kill herself a few times. And he was there for her. And so, you know, but he could have just as easily said, you're too off the hook for me. And so I think one of the things for our listeners to know is, you know, how much do you love? How much do you care? And there were times where he wasn't sure he was staying with her. And you know, they've kind of supported each other to be bigger than who they are. And so I think that that's another place, is if people can't support each other to be bigger than who they are, or they don't honor and allow people to be who they are. So in other words, you know, do they have to run in the same circles? Do they have to do everything together? And then the third piece of this is what I want to say, family and community. And that is, you know, we may love each other. We may have our act together. But because of, you know, religious things and beliefs or whatever, there's some, or under, you know, different classes, there's reasons why the families or the communities don't want to accept the other person and judge the other person. And so I think that kind of helps for people to pinpoint if they're having trouble in their relationship, you know, which one of those three is it, and then how can you kind of work out where the trouble is to make it be right if you're supposed to be there, and sometimes you're not.
Right. What do they say? There's people that are there for a season or reason, or
yep.
How does that go? And I think that's really true. Some people come into our lives and they touch our lives in that moment, and it's almost like a bird that pollinates a flower, and they land on that flower and their seed is dropped, and then they fly away, but that flower forevermore is changed.
It's so true. And you know, the other thing is that I think, and sometimes I'll say laughingly because, you know, of your show, but I will say to the clients, sometimes romantic relationships are highly overrated because you're not always going to be in the heat of passion. You can be in the heat of love, the fire and flame of love, which burns eternal. And so sometimes people kind of get confused in where they are in their stages of relationships and just, you know, how they can be in it. Can you just love this person and be committed to them like I was with my life partner who all of a sudden one day is in intensive care, you know, and, you know, I didn't know what was going to come out, whether he's going to be debilitated when he came out, whether he's going to be brain dead, whether he's going to live. You know, how do you be with someone? You know, what's your commitment to them because of who they are? And, you know, not a lot of other stuff, but just who they are. And so I think that it's really interesting for people to think about their own relationships, their own ability to love at the level where love lives, which can sometimes be bigger than ourselves, you know, and then how that shows up. And so, you know, very interesting things with love and relationships.
Well, I love your work. I think it's so extraordinary, and it's so much fun for me to watch because it's so diversified. I mean, even if I looked at your radio shows, The Doctor's In, or Your Life Purpose Revealed, or The Ruins and the Tarot. And so how do you decide what you're going to, what key, what tool, what technique you're going to use to open the door to people's lives or to people's hearts or to transforming the world and to making a difference?
That's a great question, Nicole. Well, for me, what it is, and I want to just kind of roll that tape back a little bit to say that, you know, in the old days, I had boyfriends, and they were I loved them because they were very single-point focused. They were attorneys. They were architects. They were highly successful salespeople. They were, you know, across the whole gamut. And I used to say, how come I'm not like you? And they used to laugh, and they would say to me, well, that's part of your color is that you're not. And, you know, because I would be into, you know, hypnotherapy and, you know, spiritual things and psychology and mediation and, you know, on and on and on because I'm infinitely curious. And what I realized is that as a rainbow person, which I now know people like me are and like you, is that we just have this enormous bandwidth of curiosity. We want to know something about everything. And so we don't stay in one little area. Well, what happens is, then when working with people and people in relationships and, you know, just in general life, is that all of that bandwidth of the various experiences can be brought to the table. And really what I personally do is I come to the table as a blank slate. And so you punch in whatever input you punch in, and then I come back out with whatever that input has impacted in me that relates to wherever it is that you are. And so, you know, if you said this, and whatever came up, I'd go that way. If you said something different, I would go a different approach. And so in terms of how that actually lives for people, like if they told me they were professionally driven, then I would say to them, okay, well, so let's figure out what that means for you and what that means for them and how you guys can be compatible. One's a type A, the other's a type B. How do you meet in the middle? Where's, you know, like the A minus the B plus for you guys where you can both be happy? And then how do you, so because they live in profession, let's go there. They could be more spiritual. And, you know, one is one religion, one's, you know, a more spiritual in nature, and one spends a lot of time at the church, and the other one, you know, spends some time communing, and, you know, and how do you make those blend? And so for me, it's really wherever the person is that shows up and where are the people, how is it that you can help them find common ground, harmony, and just an ease in kind of connecting and being with each other?
It's so funny. I have such a unique mind, Suzanne.
I know you do.
You said, you know, you say this and I go this way and you say that, and all of a sudden I just had this visual of a Pac-Man machine.
Yep.
Pac-Man. Like, and all of a sudden a little guy would come and then you'd start to go the other way and then you go up and then you start to go down as they, and you were constantly changing directions depending on what was coming at you.
Right.
And
then, exactly. I mean, I think that's a great visual, Nicole, of Pac-Man. And then what happens is you notice, like if we use the Pac-Man analogy, that, oh, my God, you know what? Most of what they're talking about are the green men. And so I'd say, okay, good, we need to focus on the green men because that's where we seem to keep going. And so, you know, or the orange little pack guys, you know, it could be, I would then, once I got to know them better, then I would sort of start to drill down into the specific area and say, okay, good, so what is it about green for you guys? You know, tell me your green and then you tell me your green. So that each person got to, you know, have this reflection of, you know, what's true for them, and then where's the middle ground? Where can you guys find the middle ground? And then the other thing that I do oftentimes is that I ask them to talk to each other's higher selves and while they're in the room. So, for instance, you know, you and someone else, you know, so I want you just to imagine dropping into your heart and then imagine that you're feeling the best and highest of the other person, and they do the same with you, and then those two beings find each other, and then they talk to each other. And then the humans get to hear what goes on between those two. And I get to help them kind of, you know, interact with each other, you know, which is kind of, I forget what the psychological term is. There's actually a term for a voice dialogue. To do a voice dialogue kind of a thing where they get to hear the bigger parts of themselves, which then get to touch the heart, touch the soul of the other person, and even oftentimes of themselves, because they get to speak in a vulnerable place that sometimes they're not necessarily wanting to go, and then all of a sudden new things start to emerge.
That's amazing. You know, and as I know that we wanted to talk today about the relationship with the community, but one of the things I wanted to ask you before we get into that, as you're talking about the unique mind and the unique relationships, you have this incredible gift and talent for runes. Is that how you say them, runes?
The runes, yeah.
The runes. And I know it's also something that you do in your show and you talk about tarot. And can you share with me, because it's a word that we see often, especially in the New Age spiritual, you know, they sell them, you see them in
right.
bookstores or whatever, but what they are and what they represent and how you can navigate relationships through them.
Oh, I love that question, Nicole. Okay, so to just give everybody a little history lesson on the runes, the word rune means secret or hidden. And so each one of these symbols in the old runes, and the old runes are the Viking or Nordic runes that come from way back, and then Ralph Blum wrote a book, B-L-U-M, wrote a book called The Book of Runes, which became, you know, as far as that goes, you know, the bestseller of rune books way back when. And what he did was that, and what most people don't know, is that the old Nordic runes are actually what became our 26-letter alphabet. And so,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the original characters that then turned into our alphabet, and they were also associated with the Nordic gods and goddesses. And so when you went to the oracle, to the runes, you would go to as a way to consult the gods and goddesses to find out what's going on in your life, who do you need to ask favor from, who do you need to do ritual to on all these different things. And so the old runes are great, except for the fact that they're very arcane in one way. We don't connect with those old gods and goddesses most of the time. And so, you know, I just said there has to be a more modern way to do this. And, you know, I've been reading Tarot by that point for about 25 years, 30 years. So I was fairly familiar with, you know, symbolism and, you know, the energy of readings and intuition and whatnot. And so I, on my land, I have this beautiful manzanita, and I had wanted to do some project where I got to co-create with my land. And all of a sudden, it just came through to do the runes, make a new set of runes for the new age. And so, and this was like in 1999, so the new age was really the new millennium. And so when that happened, all of a sudden, one day, I was, you know, in a bar of all places, and I was waiting for some friends. And, you know, I mean, funnier things have happened, right? You know, some spiritual amazing thing happens in a bar while you're waiting for people. So I had a cocktail napkin, and I just started writing down what I saw, what the symbols were I saw that started coming through. I said, what in the world are these? And so I'm like, I have no idea what this is, but obviously somebody's very intentional to be giving me these. And so it took, so in a half hour, all the symbols were downloaded. But it took me about a year to go and make sense of what they meant, understand what the grid of energy was, understand that they were earth, air, fire, and water, and that they related to the angels, the divas, our own co-creative abilities, great spirit and the elementals, which are the big forces of nature we have on this planet, and also our own human awareness. And so each one of those energies has a different vibration and expression within each realm and within each element. So, for instance, if you can imagine fire, so in Great Spirit's realm, fire is elemental fire. So that can be a wildfire. It can be a fire in a stove. It can be no fire, no chi. And so when the fire rune comes up, it means that you have, of Great Spirit and the elementals, it means that it's a question of your physical fire and energy in your body. But if it's in the realm of the divas, then it's more about the light of your being and how it helps things grow. What's the passion that you light fire to, that you give your energy to? And with the angels, it is the realm of the light and bringing in those qualities of light and that love that vibrates through the light. And then in the realm of human awareness, it's about your vision, like your third eye vision. And this, the rune is called Sun on the Horizon. So it's like, if you were to imagine that your third eye is calibrated at the horizon, what's your vision that you're bringing in? What is it you're walking into as you're watching the sun? What's radiating into you? What are you consciously thinking and feeling? What's your passion vision that's wanting to be expressed? And so that when the runes came through and then finally understood it, it was like, wow, this really makes sense. And the symbols are so simple because I can't draw, you know, which is a good thing because, you know, they're glyphs. They're not supposed to be works of art. And they really kind of do tell a story for people. And if your listeners want to see them, they can go to insightfulrunes.com. And that's insightfulrunes.com. And so you can see them. You can do free readings and whatever there. So in terms of relationships, Nicole, here's the interesting thing. So what I do when I do on your life and purpose revealed with runes and tarot, what I do is I say to people, okay, I want you to think about yourself, think about your partner, and then I pick a third rune, which is the rune of purpose for them being together. So, for instance, I actually have the runes right here with me now, so I'm going to kind of do this for my niece and her soon-to-be husband and just see who they are for each other.
That's great.
Oh, so this is totally fun. Okay, so for her, it's double heart, which is a water rune in the realm of the angels. And so that is her being her biggest and best self emotionally, giving her love and the divine love to him and their relationship. And then his rune is symbol side down, and it's crystal holding. And so this is, again, interestingly enough, of the angels again, of the earth. And so he's holding the frequencies of the earth. He's the grounded one. He's the one who's solid, and so she can be flitting around and this and that. But he reminds her of that love. He's like the crystal that holds that love that she can tap into and then move from. So he's the really grounded one in this deal. And then their purpose is, this one is blasting forth. So it's to bring all kinds of energy out into the world, like more solid about relationships. And this is a co-creative rune of the realm of human awareness. And so it's to help them both be bigger people. And it's also, and I know that she wants to have a lot of kids. She's an only child. And so this is bringing a lot of energy out into the planet. And so, and she wants to do that through kids. And she is a nurse. And so she helps people heal. So there's a lot of energy that she uses in that way. And then he's her grounding rod, and she's his kind of lightning rod. And so that's how these two work together.
That's just marvelous.
And that's actually how I know them to be in real life.
Wow. Can anybody pull runes? Like, can you go get a set, order one online, and is it just as effective, or do you really need to find somebody that knows what they're doing to help you navigate your life purpose and your next steps?
I believe that everybody can do it for themselves, Nicole. I mean, I really do. And one of the things about the runes is that they're very simple. They're not hard to work with. So you can do a self, present, and future. Like I just said right now, you can do a self, the other person, the purpose of you being together, or you could do an outcome rune. You can do so many different things. And, in fact, I actually pulled an outcome rune for those guys, and that was Spiral Outwards. And it's a co-creative rune in the realm of human awareness. So this means that the outcome for these guys is they're actually going to be taking their relationship out in the world in some ways, and they don't even have any idea about them because these guys are very provincial. They're kind of small town the way they think. I don't mean like they're provincial in their minds, but their sort of sphere of influence is small, and they like it like that. But with that Spiral Outwards, it means that they're going to be doing something much bigger that they don't even know about at this point in time. As they're getting married today at 5 o'clock, they have no idea about. So, yes, people can definitely do their own readings. And when they go to insightfulrunes.com, they can actually go and do a reading. And the runes will come up randomly, and they will get a reading. And then once they do that, if they want, they can send me an email, and then I will do a free 10-minute expanded reading for them. So they can do it by themselves, and they can also have a little help if they need it.
How did they find you to do that? Do you have an email or a website?
All they've got to do is just go to insightfulrunes.com, and then the information is there. And then the other thing that they can do is if they want to buy them, they can actually go to my yournextstepcoach.com website, and they're there, and they're also available on Amazon.
Just magnificent. That's
so it's fun.
I love that that's what you're doing. It is fun. And I, you know, you came to my house and you opened the bag and I saw the set that you created.
Yep.
I think I was mesmerized. And it's something you want to touch and feel. It's like a little kid that you want to touch something, you know,
right,
or something.
Right.
It's like petting the pony or something. It's like,
that's right. And I remember you doing that in your hand.
Yes. It has such a different feeling. And I absolutely love that. And then I wanted to ask you, because you're such a unique guest because you have so much to offer, and especially in relationships. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the relationships. One, how you pick a philanthropic organization as a couple and how you choose how you're going to make a difference together. And then I also wanted to talk about the relationship with the Earth and the planet, because I know that you kind of live off the grid and have a relationship with the Earth in a very different and profound way. And do you think you can share a little bit about both of those things with me?
Yes, but you're going to have to ask those to me one at a time, Nicole. You've just put too much information in my brain.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would love to know, why there are so many things I would love to know. You know, I'm like, Dear Santa. And I start when I'm 3, and I'm like, you know, 83, and I'm still going, and could you also bring me a world peace too? Thank you. Love you, Nicole. So when people get married, I know that you work with a lot of philanthropic organizations and a lot of community outreach. And so as a person, as an individual, I mean, I was knighted and I'm a dame, and there are organizations that are near and dear to my heart and things that inspire me and help me move forward and that I wake up impassioned to. And then I would imagine when you fall in love and meet somebody, they have their own ideas of how to make a difference and a change in the world. And how do you together pick a philanthropic organization or a community outreach or something that you can equally share a vision and move towards and make an effective difference?
I think that's a really important point, Nicole, is how can you do it together? And the reason for that is because otherwise there's so many things that already take our energy separately and apart. Most people don't work together. And so they have different lives, and then they come home and they, you know, they have 3 or 4 hours, they go to bed, and then they start this whole thing over again where they're separate. So most people don't have the luxury of being in relationship where they live together and work together. Like the man that I live with, we've been together 17 years, we live and work together. And so then what happens is, and the way that I think it best works, is that people just talk about what their vision is with no ulterior motive at the moment. Just what's your vision? If you wanted to, let's just say they both love animals. So wherever that starting point is where you start. So for us, it's sustainability and animals. And so then, okay, so what does that mean for you? What's your vision? And so for me, it's living sustainably. It's living green. How can I help have people on this planet understand how to live sustainably and live off the grid? And what does that mean? And Dave has been the one who's implemented all that stuff for me. And so, you know, his part is actually the putting that of all that together, the one who shares with people, and, you know, that our place is kind of a demonstration project for people, how you actually do that. And so
Suzanne, I'm going to jump in just for a second, just for clarification. So Dave is your partner. For people that are now going, who's Dave?
right. And so that's his part. So then what will happen is, you know, sometimes we'll say, okay, well, so do we want to do this or that, or can we help in another way, or this or that? And so that's one way to do it. And I think that's the best way, because that way people have sort of an equal investment. And then let's just say a couple loved animals. They really loved animals. And up here, we have a couple of fascinating things. We have lots of rescues, and then we have the big cat rescue place up here. We have a place that actually takes in the big lions and tigers and Barry Krishner Foundation, which is an amazing place. And so then it's a matter of, well, do we want to have a bunch of animals in our house, like foster animals, or do we want to give money, or do we want to give time? Do we want to help little animals? Do we want to help exotic endangered animals? Who is it that we want to help? Where does our passion meet? And so I have them explore that. I have them take like a big area, and then, okay, you're over here, you're here. Okay, where's the similarity? Where does that meet? And then where the vision is. How do you guys want to do that together? And so it's kind of like, you know, you start at the farthest apart, and then you just work your way in. And that way everybody kind of naturally is saying yes every step of the way. And then there's not like, well, you did that, and I want to do this. And no, you guys can do that. And then you kind of agree. It can be like a date night. You guys can agree to say, okay, well, you know what, we're going to put this much time in, this much money in, and that's kind of how we're going to do that. And then it works for both of them.
That's brilliant, because I think it's really important when you decide to share a life.
Yep.
That you share your visions and your hopes and your dreams, and you share your passions and your enthusiasm and the calling of your heart, and you would hope that somebody else would resonate with whatever that is, that they could play a different instrument in the orchestra, but that they would love that song.
That's right. And, you know, as you were talking, Nicole, something else I just thought about in a different way. So imagine another scenario which is completely the opposite of this. Sometimes introverted people want nothing to do with extra stuff, or people are overwhelmed. They just don't want to do anything more. They don't want to put one more thing on their plate. And so at times like that, I say to the people, listen, honor yourself. You don't need to do this. And if the other person wants to, how is it that you can support them in doing that so that there's actually the multiplier effect where your energy is serving them? Like, they may have to go and have evening meetings. So what happens is you have dinner ready for them when they come home. You're interested about whatever they're doing. You may be able to help them with some kind of, you know, back-end infrastructure stuff that needs to get done. So how can you support them? And, you know, so again, to make it a joint project. And sometimes it just means people have to agree to disagree. Like, I have a lot more energy, so I'm going to do this. You don't have as much energy, so you hang out and do what you need to do. We're going to come together in these ways, but since I have some extra energy, I want to put it down this channel. And it's, again, you know, sort of agreeing after you know each other to say, okay, well, here's what's available, and not making people go places they don't want to go, or withholding their energy because someone else doesn't want to go.
I must have the craziest images in my head today, because this time I was thinking about somebody that would want to do maybe Little League or something in their community, or raise money for the church or for the school, and one person would say, okay, I'll go to Costco and buy the donuts and the cookies. You go to the school.
That's very cool.
Stop.
You know, that's very cool. And you know, and that's often how it happens in families, you know, or they little soccer games and, you know, one has to go make the punch and the cupcakes and the cookies, you know, and the other one goes and gets the, you know, equipment together and then they, you know, get everybody together and go. So, you know, again, that's a great example of that working together.
My brain today, though, must be full of these beautiful little images. I wonder what my dreams were last night. Wow.
Yes, indeed.
Very exciting. And then you talked about your passion being to help people get off the grid and become environmentally sustainable. And so you have a relationship with the earth, like very few people I've ever met. And I remember once somebody picked up earth in both hands, and they said, they picked up the right hand, and they said, some people call this earth. And in the other hand, they said, and some people call it dirt. And when
right.
you call it earth, that flowers grow, plants grow, there's life, there's minerals, it's alive compared to something that's dirt or dirty. And always see earth, always understand the power, and that everything has an energy and a presence. And you carry with you that understanding of earth, of a relationship with the planet in a very different way that you profoundly share. I mean, you even did a television show, didn't you, on sustainability?
I did. And at the farthest end of that, not only did I do my own show, but I also was on National Geographic on their Doomsday Prepper show, which is the antithesis of who I am. But I wanted to show people how it could be different, how it could be a relationship that's co-creative instead of crazy. And they actually did air that segment. And but, you know, it's interesting because the last couple of times when I've gone back and forth up and down the state, because I've come down your way a couple of times and we tried to connect, we just didn't make it on those occasions. But it's amazing what's happening with the earth. The powers that be have chosen not to give water to the Central Valley. And I can't even tell you how many tens of thousands of acres that's impacting. And these beautiful orchards are being rooted up, and they are being kind of put in piles. And then there's the big, huge cow processing factories down there, and feedlots. And all that, you know, manure and soil and ammonia and everything else that comes from those farms. And then next to them there are just these, like, the soil looks like it's got nothing in it. It feels empty to me. And so the last time when I was driving back, I was like, oh, my God, I just felt so bad for the earth. And I was just like, I just wanted to pat her as I was driving by and say, listen, it's going to be okay. And let's see if we can't imagine having things happen here and having people work together and having the wastewater actually be now made in a way that you guys can use it and it can come back to these places and repotentiate the land. And when I was going through towards San Luis Obispo, there's a little Highway 46, I think is the name of the road, and there was, you know, I was imagining what the land would have looked like in the 1800s before, you know, much of humanity had gone through these places. And you know, like, there were some stands where there was tons of trees, and it was a verdant forest, you know, oak forest, but needless to say, it was lush for what that is. As I was driving by on this road, the hillsides were dying. The trees were dying, and then every now and then you'd see one that was still alive, and I was puzzled and horrified. I'm like, what has happened here? What is going on? No sign of humans. What is happening here? And then as I drove further, I realized, oh, my God, the water table is leaving here. And so as the water table leaves these areas, these trees die. And so you can literally see from the earth, from above, what the water table is doing below, because now these trees that are, you know, in the middle of nowhere have no support, no water, and so they're dying. And so, you know, and I asked a girlfriend of mine who travels that road once a week, I said, did you see what's happening to those trees? And she looked at me and she said, what trees are you talking about? And so I think part of this is that relationship like you're talking about with nature, where we see and we feel nature. And it was really painful, that trip, I have to say, just feeling how we had left her, you know, so kind of, I want to say, high and dry. And the other thing is that the heat index on the planet, they talk about global climate change, the heat, because there's nothing radiating, nothing protecting the earth, like our skin, if it was burnt 24 hours a day, it would just radiate heat back off, which is exactly what the earth is doing. So as we keep cutting trees down, we keep having more and more earth, dirt, that holds heat that then at night reflects it back out. And so, you know, I think part of our new relationship with earth needs to be just to understand processes, you know, understand how this works. And if we don't have as many trees, we're not making as much oxygen. Forget about climate change, whether you believe it or not. But imagine we don't have as much foliage doing the work for us to bring oxygen here. So we're actually compromising our own ability to live because we are not in relationship with nature.
Wow. I love that. And so what are simple things that somebody can do that's listening to this? Because it's such a huge undertaking to say, okay, I'm going to become off the grid or permaculture, whatever these words are. I mean, do we start by buying organic fruit or shampoo that's not animal tested, or can you grow your own gardens, or where does somebody start?
Well, I think, again, it goes back to the question that you asked at the beginning, Nicole. How do people kind of navigate things? And I think for anyone that has, even if you have a small place, there was a period of time where I had a little house and just a little deck, which I think was about 10 by 12 at the time. And on that deck, I had a bunch of container gardens. I had tomatoes in containers. I had corn, and I had beans, and I had onions. And I think any way that people can have some kind of connection with the earth is great, and what they eat. And then, you know, if you can't do that, of course, you buy organic. You do things that aren't animal tested, like you said. And then you can go, like, I shred all my paper, and I give it to my worms here. And I have worms all over the place. And, you know, I mean, I have a much more elaborate operation here than most people. I have 150 fruit and nut trees, but I live on 30 acres, and I have chickens and goats and llamas and sheep. And so I really wanted a bigger connection with nature. And then, you know, how can people go and maybe spend some time in nature? And I don't mean just going for a hike or going for a walk, but how can you spend some time in nature where you're connecting with nature? And that's where all the eco-travel, eco-tourism, Global Exchange is a great place. There's a bunch of organizations going to permaculture ranches and farms so you can see and feel how to connect with the earth in meaningful ways. So there are ways for people to develop relationships. And, you know, I think there's a great little book that's out that's called 50 Ways to Green the Planet. And, you know, to just start wherever you can and then, you know, expand. And, you know, when I'm in the big cities, I look around and, you know, I was at a scene at a girlfriend of mine's house who I dearly loved. And she had these bird of paradise trees, which are the biggest bird of paradise I've ever seen anywhere. And because they're going to sell the house, they're going to cut these bird of paradise down. And just cut them down. It's like, well, you know, they're just too big. They're just trees. Who cares? And I was heartbroken. I was like looking at those poor plants. I'm thinking, oh, my God, the legacy of you guys. And, you know, I'm sorry. And I was apologizing them for what was going to happen. And so I think part of it is giving our heart and our souls to nature and being in relationship and in community with nature. I couldn't do anything about that, but I could honor those birds of paradise and say, you know what? You know, that people are going to learn, and you've graced and blessed them, and now they're going to have to learn. And they're going to sometimes, you know, there's that old saying about tough love. And sometimes I feel like, you know, when we're not as mindful as we need to be, we have tough love. And, you know, obviously that's not what we want to have happen. It would be much easier if people were just proactive. But I think in some ways tough love is on the doorstep here.
And when you see, like, organic fruit, you know, I was at the farmer's market this morning, or you and I talk about the blue eggs or the green eggs or eggs, you know, chickens that are free range or vegetarian fed or whatever that is. Is it better? I mean, is it important to buy an egg energetically that's been free range, or to buy an apple that's organic, or a carrot holistically, nutritionally, or energetically? How does that work?
Well, I would say yes, and I think a great experiment for people to do for themselves, and I would encourage any of you listening to do this, is to go and get like a dozen store-bought white eggs, and then to go and get a dozen organic eggs from your farmer's market, and to feel the difference just energetically. Hold one in each hand and see where there's what the resonance is. See what each one of them feels like. See what you have a relationship with. Same is true. You could do that with carrots. You could do that with everything. and you will feel a difference. You'll feel that there's not an emptiness in the mass produced. You'll feel the emptiness in the mass produced, and you'll feel some quality of energy in the organic. And it's even more so and more true if it's from your own land. And then, you know, Anastasia in the Ringing Cedars of Russia book series, which I highly recommend for people, is someone who says you actually take the seeds, put them in your mouth, let your saliva get on the seeds before you plant them, because then the plants will literally know and digitize how they grow to suit and serve you and what you need, what your body, your unique system needs. So you talk about a relationship. I mean, it doesn't get any more, you know, that's like the great mystery for me right there.
Wow. I've never heard that before. And
yeah,
what was
isn't
the
that amazing?
Book that you were talking about?
That's the Ringing Cedars of Russia series, and it's a whole series of books about a woman named Anastasia, and it's just remarkable. And it's like the Montessori and the Steiner and, you know, all of the biodynamics on steroids. It's amazing.
I love that idea of putting the seeds on your tongue before you actually plant them.
Because then they're yours. You know, they have your DNA surrounding them. And then, you know, I'll tell you another funny story here from my land. So, you know, I have all these trees and everything's bearing fruit right now. And, you know, I also have blue jays and squirrels. And so I'm not going to kill blue jays and I'm not going to kill squirrels and I'm not going to poison anything. So, okay, how can we live together? Well, so what's happened is every year the blue jays beat me to my fruit. And so every year Dave says, well, you know, there's no reason for you to grow all this. All you're going to do is let the blue jays eat it. So every year we go around with this. Well, so this year I figured out a way for both of us to be happy and actually the blue jays to do me a favor. So this year what happened was the blue jays went, and I've been busy and traveling and this and that. So the blue jays would peck on things. Now, the blue jays are funny because all they'll do is they'll just put one little minuscule hole in that piece of fruit. And so I started to think about this. And I'm like, how toxic can it be to have a little peck in a piece of fruit? And so I'm going to throw away a piece of fruit. Actually, I don't throw anything that's live. I don't throw away. It all goes to my chickens or goats and sheep. So I said, well, now, wait a minute now. Do I really need to give this to those animals, or can I just cut that little piece out and still have that piece of fruit? And then, oh, by the way, the blue jays know when things are ripe, so I know when they're ripe because the blue jays have eaten them. And so now I'm actually sharing my food with the blue jays.
I love that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, people can think I'm nuts, you know, but the truth is it's, you know, it's healthy, it's organic, and everybody gets to live together in a co-creative way and have what they need.
Just fantastic. And then when you talk about eggs, do eggs need to be refrigerated? Because I know when I go to the farmer's market, they're telling me, you know, they tell us that they have to be refrigerated here or whatever for us to be able to have our eggs, you know, on this stand, but actually they're much better if you don't put them in the refrigerator. And do they need to be refrigerated?
They don't. You know, so look at it. Let's just go back to nature, right? So one of the things is that humans have this great propensity to create all kinds of myths for themselves. And so when people have myths, I say, well, let's just go back to nature. Now, in nature, is an egg refrigerated? Never. Never. It goes through the cycle of the day and night, right? It's never refrigerated. And so when we get the eggs from the chickens, you know, sometimes it's in the heat of the day. We'll come and we'll bring them and put them on the dashboard by the sink, and Dave will wash them off, and we'll just let them sit there, and they'll dry, and they can sit there for 3 or 4 days. Now, the interesting thing, though, is once you put them in the refrigerator, then they need to stay refrigerated. But for all the, you know, health and sanitation laws and, you know, safety laws, you know, everything always goes to the least common denominator, which is, you know, not always the most organic. And so they just tell you have to have them in the refrigerator. And if they've been in the refrigerator, they need to stay in the refrigerator. But before that, no. I mean, I have them sit out on the counter. It could be for days. You know, they go to people within days. But, you know, easily 7 days is no problem. And they last for forever.
Do they have to be on the counter, or could you put them in a cupboard or something? Could they be in the dark, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then the other thing that's really kind of fun about that is that if you have organic eggs, you can have fertile or non-fertile eggs, right? So you could have, if you have, if wherever your chicken eggs came from, they have a rooster, like all my eggs are fertile eggs because they have, I have roosters. Because, again, I don't kill anybody. If a rooster came in the batch of chicken eggs, okay, I have roosters. And I don't kill my roosters to put them in a pot. Nothing gets killed on my land. Everything gets to live out its life here. And so all my eggs are fertile eggs. So in theory, you know, if you left them on the counter for, you know, days and the conditions were just so, in theory, they could turn into chickens. I've never heard such a thing happen, but it actually could. So, you know, I just leave the, you know, egg production to the chickens and the, you know, making eggs and chicks for the chickens, you know, that's their job, not mine. And, you know, and things go like that. But we have them, we get them the day, you know, within, you know, 12 hours of when they were laid. So they're, you know, they're as fresh as they can be.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Because I knew, you know, when I was standing there and she was sharing, and she had a whisper, you know, like, in order to be here, we have to... You know, they tell people
right.
to refrigerate them, but really there's so much better if you don't.
Right. That's true.
So
That's
I love the relationship with the planet and with ourselves and with our loved ones. And then do you have that relationship with your animals? Do they know that they have this forever pass being there and this free, wonderful place like your blue jays know that they can enjoy this incredible buffet? That you have laid out before them and that you are the master chef?
They do. And Dave was just telling me this story because he's out and about much more on the land than I am. He was just telling me this story recently about this pair of squirrels. And I have like this 50-foot tall, several of them, but this one in particular, it has this, just a million pine cones in the top of it. And so one squirrel's job is to go and get the pine cone out of the tree. And then he felled the pine cone. Then the other squirrel's job is to run it halfway over to the next pine tree. Then the next one goes, the one that got back down out of the tree, then takes it, you know, like a relay race with two squirrels. Then the next one takes the next piece, and then the stronger of the two takes it up the tree. And then they share this pine cone between themselves up in the tree. So one of the other things is that nature, when left to its own devices, and our animals are amazing in their relationships, and their bonding and the way that they be with each other and how protective they are of each other, and that they do form family units, and they do appreciate the siblings. And like right now I have great-grandparents, grandparents, parents and kids, goats. And so to watch, you know, from my first, from Mama Goat to, you know, Angel Oat to, you know, Hell's Angel to... then the mini goats, you know, there's four generations of goats that I have. And to watch how they all interact and how they're, you know, they're friendly. And they're also, you know, they understand their own pecking order. And just recently I took them from one pasture to the next and I put them in one place. And so then they had to all get along in a different way because I introduced some other goats to them. And so they're like, who are you? You're not part of us. And so they go through this whole thing of just like people of like, well, who are you, you know, to come into relationship? And they have to sort that out. And then once they sort that out, then they become a bigger tribe, and then they're all connected again. And so I feel like us humans can learn a lot from the animal kingdom and how to relate and how to get along.
I find that so fascinating. I love that you have a llama. I think I shared with you that I have a dear friend, Dave Ellis, and he has an amazing workshop called Falling Awake. And Dave always talks about that there is no such thing as jealousy, that when you see something, that whether it's a red Ferrari or a beautiful relationship or, you know, a Himalayan cat or whatever that is that you see, and a tinge of jealousy strikes inside of you, that it's not really jealousy, it's an awareness that has struck you, and all of a sudden something inside of you says, I desire that, and you've opened the door to your desire, and instead of having jealousy, to write it down on a manifestation list, red Porsche, Himalayan kitten, true love,
that's right.
Whatever that is, and
that's
then you're manifesting.
That's exactly right.
And
that's exactly right.
I was in Ecuador, and I was staying at this beautiful place in Ecuador on a hillside, and outside my window was a baby llama. And I was drawn to this baby llama, and I went outside, and the baby llama came over to me, and the little baby llama put its nose right against my nose, and we sort of had this little moment sharing peace and blessing and bliss and joy and love and humanity and all these things, and I had this magical experience. And then the next morning, I raced out to see the baby llama, but this time the baby llama brought its friends. It brought, like, its brothers and sisters and all these other little llamas were all there. And in that moment, I realized that I wanted a baby llama, that I never knew until that moment that there was something inside my heart that was desiring and awakening and wanting a llama. But in that moment, I knew that I did, and I put it down on a manifestation list. And so I love the fact that you have all of these animals and all of these God creatures surrounding you and adding life to your life. I'm adding energy to your energy, and together you are creating this incredible swirl of humanity and of joy, and that through that you're able to coach people and on their inner DNA, on their life purpose, and you're taking not just your own energy but the energy of the planet and all of the world around you.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You have to come up and meet Mercury. She's now bigger. She stands up to my... like she's about up to my waist now. And she's adorable. She's absolutely adorable. And she and her mom are great. And her dad is very protective of her. It's the most amazing thing. He used to be the most docile llama that there was. And he still is docile, but there's nothing that's going to get to harm that baby. And so when I take the little one out for a walk, he's like goes from one place to the next to make sure he can still see them. And when he can't, he'll cry. And because he's protecting her. It's like, you're not in my sight. Where are you? And so it's remarkable how the animals know how to be in family and in relationship.
I am so grateful that you are part of my spiritual family and my world. And I am thrilled that you were able to be with us today. And many blessings and love and light and joy to your niece and to the wedding and to all of the beauty and grace that you're about to witness today. And may they have many years of happiness. And we still look forward to having you back. It's always such a joy and such a pleasure to hear your voice and to share your wisdom and your worldliness. So,
thanks, Nicole. Thanks for having me. And, you know, as always, I love you dearly and consider you like a spiritual sister of mine at the highest and deepest level.
So I love you, many blessings, and certainly many blessings for the wedding, and we so look forward to seeing you soon, and thank you again, Susan.
You are welcome. Have a great day, Nicole.
Thank you, too. Much love. Wow, I adore her. She's amazing. What a beautiful way to live, and how much she has to share, and how generous that she takes her time on a day she's attending a wedding to be here and to be part of this. That's fantastic. And next week we have Courtney Geigel. I'm so excited, and they have the wedding website, which is everything from your veils to your gifts to your bachelorettes to your thank you notes to your centerpieces. It is the ultimate wedding site of all wedding sites, and he's going to come and he's going to talk to you about that. And we have so many great guests lined up for you. Remember, you can get a copy of today's show by sending a text to 55678. The message is Nicole, and you can hear Suzanne and all of her past guests. And this is Nicole Brandon from Hourglass Bride wishing you an amazing, amazing day, and may all your fairy tale dreams come true.